The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Look at my new phone case. Guys, sorry, just look at this cool phone case I got in Hong Kong.
Whoa.
It's got all chips on it. It's got all bags of chips on it. Isn't that good?
Yum.
Isn't it? So when you're hungry, you can just...
Little tiny chippy.
I am hungry too.
I'm so hungry.
I'm so sad about Chippy. Anyway.
You're so sad about Chippy?
He did such a... he's got a happy Tiny now, so that's good. Okay, anyway, moving
tiny,
on.
Tiny.
Welcome to The Real Pod. It is the return of the Great Three Alliance, Unbreakable. Unbreakable, they go, they come back, we're all here.
If...
No, I wouldn't be on a team with you.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have an alliance with you. You're too scary.
I feel like if it was the three of us in the finale of Treasure Island, you two would do an alliance against me.
We'd have to, because you're like F45 or whatever, CrossFit in the mornings. You know?
But I couldn't do a puzzle.
You're not making it to the finale. You've got a flight to catch. You've got a meeting to go to.
Nikki was like hassling me last night when I was sort of doing, idly contemplating being on either Celebrity Treasure Island or alone. And she's like, you like lasagna and TV too much. Like basically human Garfield. But it's true. I think I would love those shows. And then I'm just like, absolutely not.
You would struggle.
I'm actually toying with guys in my inbox, an offer to go to Outward Bound. What do we think?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, as your agent.
What if I change so much, though, that I lose my personality? This is what I'm afraid of.
No, you will, but only for, like, 3 days. Like, you'll come back and you'll be like, I'm changing my entire life. I'm at one with nature now. And then you'll walk past a shoppie and get a pie and it'll be all over, you know?
I've heard of people going to Outward Bound and coming back and like singing songs to a group of people unprovoked. I don't want that on my conscience.
I also think you'll be like running to be a member of parliament.
I'm tired. I don't want to. That's what I'm afraid of. I want to unlock my full potential. I'm exhausted.
Have you seen your full potential? It's fucking huge, mate.
Alex, come on, we can't ignore the Loch Ness monster in the room. Yeah. Alex has been away.
She's back. Yeah. Thrills.
Tell us all the things.
So,
who did you see?
How did you get to the airport? Just start from there.
I don't even know where to start. Well, I can tell you, I made a list of every celebrity I saw, which is actually quite a good. Like sums up the trip quite nicely. So the first port of call was a place close to your heart, Jane Yee, the City of Angels, Los Angeles.
Oh, yes.
Where I believe someone has lived. Maybe you.
I did actually. I'd forgot that. But now that you remind me, it does ring a bell. Yeah.
It was crazy what she did. It was crazy what she did over there. So I went to UCB to see some improv comedy, not as bad as you might think. And outside, who walked past me? But Patty Harrison, who was not in the show, but was just breezing past. Comedy legend. You're both clearly on the pulse of comedy. And you know that Patty Harrison is like one of the essential comedians of the moment.
Yes.
Yeah,
she features in I Think You Should Leave. Famous for
which one
Sandra,
is she on, I Think You Should
Santa,
Leave?
Sand brought the printer early. She's the one who features in like the Apprentice style spoof of getting sewn into the big pants of the Charlie Brown.
She's like my favorite one. She's like completely psychotic. Steals every scene. Steals every scene.
Steals every scene. And she stole the street because she walked past us. She was holding a very big present. And I was like, Joyce Patty Harrison. So that we were off with a blinder there immediately. That was like an iconic person to see. Then at LAX, I saw Ray from Girls eating a little panini. Eating a little panini. And I thought that was like another great person to see. Like quite niche, panini? But very distinctive.
A little panini. No, I just want to drill down. I want to double click on the panini. Is it a little panini, like colloquially, or was it a small? Because I've never seen a small panini.
I would say he was like nearing the end of it. So perhaps I've mischaracterized it. Perhaps it was an enormous panini that had taken him hours to get through it. I had just come in at the very end. Right. Like, I don't know, that would be so right. Did work in a coffee shop, of course, knows his paninis well.
Did you manage to see what was in the panini?
I didn't. I did take an extraordinarily blurry photo of him, though, so put that in the
Substack. On the Discord. That's what the people pay for, came for.
Okay, so London, foggy, imagine, foggy London town. Yeah. I walk out of what they call a restaurant over there. Mm. Who do I see? But former spin-off social media manager Bianca and Liv from Shit You Should Care About.
Whoa.
Incredible. What are the odds? What are the odds? Really a city of what? 7,000 million people? They bump into me on the street. Amazing.
That is incredible. Wild.
You have a real talent for this.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think it's because I've been buying a lot of magnets on this trip, a lot of souvenir magnets, and I think it's had some kind of effect. I was actually scared about taking so many magnets on the plane. Like, I was like, I don't know what this does. I don't know what this does to the chemistry.
Like, it could actually pull the plane towards some sort of, like the San Francisco Bridge or something, you know?
Exactly. A meter, or pull it up. I don't know.
God.
The San Francisco Bridge, as they call it. As it's known.
I forgot its name in a brain fart. The Golden Gate Bridge. Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay, so here's another crazy one. We're back in foggy London. I go to what they call a football game.
All right, Governor.
To see the Queen's Park Rangers play. Who is sitting at the end of our row but Sir John Kerwin?
What? You can't.
No.
That is a real rando one, even more so than
how crazy is that? And I went to go and I use the facilities. You know, they have those over there too. Actually, just a side note.
The throne.
Sorry to keep going on about the United Kingdom, but every toilet there, free sanitary products for everybody, and it says take whatever you need, even at a bloody football game. Respect to that. Came back, John Kerwin sitting there, told everybody. Joe went and got a selfie with him, was very excited. I chose to instead kind of like bow, just sort of like bow like a geisha and say, so nice to see you again. Like we have some kind of relationship. Yeah. But this weird, like, reverence that I feel like, I guess, yes, he is a sir. And you know what? I really respect him. You know, I never really thought about John Kerwin until he was sitting at the end of my row there in his fabulous glasses, custom made in Milan, of course. And again, just an incredible, incredible sighting. But we're not done yet. So my next stop was Paris. And I noticed on arrival into Paris, everything was different. The streets were all like barricaded off. L'Arc de Triomphe, as they call it, was shut down. I, being a stupid ass, was like, they must be filming a movie. And I was like, and that movie could only be James Bond, because there was a giant giant Union Jack hanging down from the Arc de Triomphe. Of course, it wasn't James Bond. King Charles was in town.
I mean, he is. No, he's not. Yeah. I was going to say he is the James Bond of, but he's not the James Bond of anything, is he?
No.
No, sad. But hey, so did you see him?
Well.
He's sort of the Johnny English.
He is Johnny English. I wanted to wait to see him, but Joe said, we've only got 2.5 days in Paris. I'm not spending 3 hours waiting to catch a glimpse of King Charles. And I was like, ooh, whatever. He's the biggest celebrity there is. But then I was like, yeah, okay, maybe Monarch's not good, whatever. We'd had a holiday. But when we were at the very top of the Eiffel Tower, looked down and we saw his, like, cavalcade go past, including the Royal King Charles Mobile. So in a sense, I saw King Charles.
You did. You did.
So that's number one. You can't say bigger than that.
I mean, that was it. Yeah, it would have been a waste of time. Also,
but your holiday is not over yet.
It's right? not over yet.
Where else did you go?
Well, we came back to London and we actually went to Liverpool for a few days, which was terrific. And
saw the Beatles.
Opposite our hotel, saw the Beatles, got Beatlemania so deeply and still have not managed to shake it. Really bad case.
Oh, no.
I love the Beatles.
Are you in quarantine?
Help her if we can.
I was at the Cavern Club. I was boogieing. We did the Magical Mystery Bus Tour. It was an outstanding experience. But across the road from our hotel, Martin Freeman was filming season 2 of The Responder. Terrific cop drama on TVNZ if you haven't watched it.
Is it?
Didn't get to spot him, but I knew that he was there, and that was kind of like a good energy to have, you know? Like, another person I respect very deeply.
Really? I heard that he's a grumpy man.
No.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really grumpy.
Who told you that?
Who told you that?
I mean, a story on the internet about him.
Tim Canterbury, a grumpy man. Very upsetting. Well, look, I didn't get to confirm that because he didn't come out of the building and I could not get in, unfortunately.
Classic grumpy behaviour.
And then there was a bit of a lull, you know, I would say for a couple of weeks. And then I got home and I set foot off the plane. And as is my tradition now, when I arrive at Auckland Airport, there was a Real Housewife of Auckland waiting for me. The last time it was Louise Wallace. This time it was little Angie Stone.
Oh, little Marshmallow. Yay.
Little Marshmallow Angie Stone, who we love. She actually ended up being on my flight to Christchurch, which was a very bumpy one, coming in very windy. We were delayed on the runway for about an hour because they were too scared to go because they didn't think we could land. And I'd just love to know how she felt about the flight. Unfortunately, she was sitting right at the front and I was right at the back, as is the way of water.
Appropriate.
Remember when we rang her late night, old Real Pod days? Oh. We used to record at Duncan's house, like after watching a show. It was like 11 o'clock at night and her phone, there was a mobile number on her site and we just rang it. And someone answered. It wasn't her and
That's
it wasn't right. Leah, because Leah had since gone back to France, presumably to wait in line to see the king. And,
wow.
Yeah, someone answered.
Oh, it was,
we were so plucky, weren't we?
We were. I mean, there was that time, because I wasn't driving around a Real Housewife of Melbourne and then we went to one of their book launches?
No, that was Tracy Jewell from
Tracy Jewell.
That's right.
But we did do Real Housewives of Sydney. We had lunch with them at
That was actually really
at
good.
Soul Bar.
We used to get invited to lunch with like...
What happened?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that the budget's too small to avoid lunches for the Real Pod at Soul Bar anymore.
Hey, that's really cool.
Really good, really good. Did anything else happen?
Well, you haven't spoken to us. We haven't spoken to us about the Loch Ness Monster, who was actually the one celebrity you were hoping to see.
But did anything else happen at Loch Ness?
Well, there was a small thing that happened at Loch Ness. So we did go to try and spot the monster, my fourth or fifth time back at the Loch. Mm. Nessie did not show up, but I did actually get married!
Yay!
John Lemon and I eloped.
No one tell Nessa.
Should we call him and we get a live reaction on the pod?
No.
No one tell Hayden from Maths, who famously proposed to both me and Jane at the same time.
So I guess that means it's me now.
Someone's got to do it. The ring is still there. Is the ring still there, by the way? I wake up literally like a few times a week worrying about where the Real Pod Museum is.
The Real Pod Museum is in a box in a cupboard.
Okay.
Where it doesn't belong and we know where it is.
Because I feel like everything at the spin-off is always in danger of being thrown out in like one of the thrice weekly clear outs that we have.
And it does have like a rotting Tupperware full of icing in it that if anyone found out about, they would be like, that is a biohazard.
Yeah. Thank you, Larissa, from Bake Off for that, by the way.
Shit, Alex, that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. I mean, sad about Nessie, but good that you've got good memories there now.
It was fantastic. And we didn't see Nessie, but we did see, so We got married at Inverness Townhouse, which was very beautiful, and then we got our photos taken down at the loch. And one of the little secret, lesser-known shores we went to is actually the home of the Nessie Hunter, who's famous, if you're familiar with Loch Ness lore. He's lived in a caravan on the shores for about 40 years.
Wow.
Only seen her or something once in that time, but still determined, still remains. So when I found out that it was there, I was making a lot of noise outside his caravan because I was very excited. And he came out and he was eating a pizza and looked quite pissed off. And I was like, Nessie Hunter, we just got married. And he went, oh, I just shut the door. Oh, and just went back to his pizza.
Perfect.
I think if you're going to be Nessie Hunter and be famous for that and be at a location where people can find you, you just have to expect that the Alex Caseys and John Lemons of this world are going to come and shout outside your caravan window from time to time. You can't be a dick about it.
He just only wants Nessie. It's Nessie or nothing.
How's he paying for that pizza?
When I'm eating pizza,
he makes little trinkets out of clay.
Well, then he needs people like you. Did you buy one?
Yeah, this is true.
That was a stupid question.
I actually didn't because I thought they looked too much like a worm. Like, it didn't look like Nessie. It looked like a worm.
Oh my God, what's her name?
So like the one person who's actually seen Nessie. Did a Nessie thing and you're like, it doesn't look like Nessie. You, someone who hasn't seen Nessie.
Hashtag my Nessie. It was not my Nessie. It was a worm. And it was £10. Come on.
Yeah, that's an absolute ripoff. The cost of living crisis.
So you just returned on Saturday. We're recording this on a Monday. And you're probably still a bit jet-lagged. But still, did the mahi for the pod. You watched 3 episodes of Celebrity Treasure Island back to back on double speed, presumably absorbed just nothing at all.
Not a lot.
Shall we do some reality check and talk about it?
Aye.
Let's go.
I am disgusted at how much you have copied my husband.
Reality check.
Can I just say, I think this is, and I know that this will be upsetting for you, Jane.
No, I don't want to hear it. I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
I think
this is the best season of CTI ever.
I think it is.
Even when one of my closest friends for decades and decades was on the island, and I was so excited for you to be, still not as good as this.
I just think it's really good.
It is really good. It is really good.
And especially given, I think you had helpfully calibrated my expectations down to almost nil based on your reaction to the trailer. And I was like, Jane knows what's going on. If she thinks it's bung, it's bung.
Oh, no,
and it's not bloody bung.
I had no idea what I was on about.
Yeah,
never
crazy.
Listen to me.
I will say, crazy whiplash to go from week one, which we did, Jane. We recorded.
We did.
Crashing into this and seeing everyone is just like, Wurzel Gummidge, like, looks crazy.
Another
UK reference there. Everyone's gone full worm. Everyone's so hungry and grumpy and just crying.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I've missed a lot, so there's a lot to catch up on, but I was very excited to get stuck back into this.
Do you have any questions for us? Because we're like the Nessie man at the side of the lake, it's just a different lake. So we can answer any of your questions.
Well, I did try and keep sort of abreast of what was going on. My dad also could not stop updating me throughout the entirety of the trip. I want to know what Mary Lambie like said when she went seemingly like psycho at the end when she got eliminated.
Fuck you, you fucking fucker, is what she said.
And that was towards
Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Who's now gone.
Jordan's gone. Oh, yeah, he's gone. And an amazing, like, him and Nick did this insane...
Like, over 2 hours on an endurance. Like, the most psychotic...
Jesus pose.
Sorry, just another celebrity signing. I did actually see a fragment of Jesus's cross in Ireland as well, so just
whoa.
Whatever. Who cares? Who cares? I don't
That's
care.
Not anyone whatever. Who outrates okay. King Charles.
Okay. We. Okay. So Jordan and Nick did this insane endurance challenge where they're holding on to 2 bits of rope, standing on these 2 tiny little peggy things, and they just were there for like 2.5 hours. Everyone was very tired and hungry and cold at this point. And then they get off. Jordan Jordan loses, but Eli pulls out a mercy card, which Jordan knows he's got, right? And then, so Jordan's like gone from, I've lost, I'm back in the game. And then Blair stands up and Uno reverses that shit and was like, nah, you're going home. He had a reverse card.
Wow. It was one of the most shocking scenes on Celebrity Treasure Island that I can recall.
Just so was Blair, Blair was cool?
But Blair was a legend.
So, like, honestly, hilarious. You would love him. All into Aliens, the works. Just an absolute dream.
But the, I mean, what made it so intense was it wasn't just like a normal reverse. It was because he'd been eliminated, he'd been saved, and then killed again, but after doing 2.5 hours of the most intense thing you could ever imagine. So it was just, it was so cold-blooded of Blair. I just could not have loved him more.
But also he had sort of done Blair dirty just prior to that. So, you know, so it was
And he'd
kind
done
of,
Mary Lambie dirty, yeah. And you don't do that. You don't do that, you know?
New Zealand.
Is it Jordan who was the one who would have been pissing himself at night? Is that who Mary Lambie was alluding
yes.
to?
Yeah. But okay. I think less so about what was on the telly and more so probably about, like, just waking up and seeing Mary Lambie outside his window.
Yeah. She was not chill about it. I mean, we obviously, it happened like 6 months ago or even longer, and we cold called her and she gave us 10 minutes of outstanding streaming audio. Like, she really did just go for it and hold nothing back. Just very, very kind of her because she's been out there champagning, campaigning, prepping Christopher Luxon for the debate. So, you know, it's nice of her to make the time for the little podcast that could.
Imagine how many more votes you would have gone if she had not spent that 10 minutes with us.
That's true. Terrifying. It might have been enough to avoid the coalition of chaos.
That's Jeez. Mary Lambie's fault.
Naughty real pod.
Ultimately, Jordan's fault. We wouldn't have caught it. So, you know, right. He's got a lot to answer for. Alex, do you feel like you're ready to move on to the recap? Or is there anything else that you need to cover off?
No, I mean, I guess I was just surprised to see that all the comedians were still there and someone hadn't tried to separate them all earlier.
Let's talk about that. That's all in the
That's what all this is about this week. So
let's go.
Oh, God. Steve and Nick realise that everyone's trying to take them out. They're the strong boys. They're not in an alliance, though.
They're not in an alliance.
Just to be clear. They're not in an alliance.
Steve's just annoyed that Steve is really amazing through this because he's incredibly intense about it and doesn't seem to understand. Like, it's like he's forgotten that it's a game and he thinks this is their life now.
Yeah.
And that people are trying to cast them to hell. It's very strange.
But also saying the whole time, like, I refuse to play a game. I am not strategizing. I am not aligning with anybody. I would give my life for Nick, but he's not my friend.
Well, and also, like, I'm not famous for having played a game.
Yeah.
For like 14 seasons, and that's not the whole reason I'm on Earth. Like, gee.
That's very funny. It upset Laura because, you know, she was part of what I guess ended up him being in the elimination arena the week before. She gets upset. I think Laura's probably cried out most out of all of these castaways this season.
Most screen crying time.
Most, that's true.
Yeah, Courtney says she does her crying at night, so off camera, but that rude.
Also does her farts at night and pretends to be asleep while she's farting.
Courtney rules.
Sure, that's good. Man, that's so good.
But Mel puts it into perspective. She's like, it's a fucking game for charity. Like, yes, it's a game, Steve. It's also for charity. It's all for a good cause. It's okay to make moves. It's fine. Steve is not in an alliance with Nick, by the way. I just feel like I still just need to really hammer that. They spend all their time together. They talk strategy. They've promised to have each other's back, but it's not what you'd call
They haven't drafted a formal alliance agreement.
Yeah.
They haven't had it witnessed by a justice of the peace. So it's just an informal blood bond that they will take to their grave. Normal.
This charity challenge is the throwing things down the wire. Just a terrible technique from almost everybody. Nick watches the first lot go and says, why are they just not pulling it taut? So it's a straight line that you can just use speed and velocity to get the things down there. He goes and does that. Steve copies him. Steve actually takes out the win. Now, there are a few people who still haven't won a charity challenge. Steve's won about approximately 65 of them. Probably could have thrown it at this point.
No, I just don't think he's got it in him.
I liked James's comment where he was like, you know, I'll kind of give it up to him. He's won lots of money, but it's a good charity. If it was a shit charity, I'd be fuming.
I feel like that was a little nod to the mythical charity rankings.
Definitely begs the question, what is a shit charity? Tell us, James. Tell us in confidence.
Just get in the Discord and do your top five most rubbish charities, because there are some absolute stinkers out there, really, that have no right to have the status.
Now, there's a really strong storyline that's threading through that we didn't touch on. We mentioned last week that Turia and Courtney had a little secret aside and kind of made a rock solid alliance. We didn't mention the fact that it's really a Māori Pacifica alliance, and that this is something that they want to bring Nick into. And so she thinks her weaknesses are puzzles, and they need to get rid of puzzlers, but she also has puzzlers in her original alliance, so it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. We have an elimination. Hang on. What was the face-off?
It was the pasta prize. They had to memorise symbols, arrange things off a pontoon. Oh, it's always a pontoon, isn't it?
Yes, the wheel with the keys and the words, and it was Maunga, and Nick should have got it. He was miles ahead, but he struggled with the anagram.
It's like he hadn't changed the keyboard. He hadn't incorporated Tereo words.
He was like, I was thinking in English.
Yeah.
Turia won that. Steve had this great head start, which was absolutely wasted.
He should have known that was not a Steve competition.
And good news, just like Alex Casey and John Lemon next to the lock, Nick and Steve make it official. The alliance is on. It's officially on
now.
That's right.
They're not playing a game, though.
Not playing a game. No. Not playing a game. It's coalition.
I did like how, you know, Turia knew that it was Maunga straight away, and that she said when she won, she's like, and that's why everybody should know Tereo Māori. It's just like, I love Turia so much. Like, if she ran for Prime Minister, I would vote. Big time, Turia.
Honestly, weird things happened this election, you know.
Turia. Yeah, no, she is exceptional. Very, very funny and cool, but also, like, takes very little shit from anyone.
She put Steve and Mel up in the elimination arena. Steve's third time, Mel's second.
And Mel had already been on the wine, and there was this big controversy, where she said to Mel, I'm going to put you up. And Mel's like, no, you're not. And then she said, no, I'm going to do it. And she said, no, you're not. And then Mel was just kept drinking wine. Like, and Mel is upset about it. And I'm like, I actually did feel like that. I sort of understood both perspectives on it, in the sense that Turia did definitively say that.
She didn't say she was going to put her up. She said, these are the people that are possibles. Steve, whoever the other one was, maybe Nick. I think it was Steve and Nick. But also you, Mel, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, and there's no obligation to tell someone. I do think that, like, Mel did say, if you're going to put me up, I better stop drinking wine, so tell me if you're going to put me up. And he just didn't say no. Definitively, you should put that glass down, stop getting on the rantan, and start getting into the right headspace, because you're going to go up against the big bopper. But
what are you doing?
I'm just using words. And she didn't say that, using those words or any other substitutes, any other lesser substitutes.
What keyboard have you got programmed on at the moment? Mel smoked it. She beat the big bopper.
Yeah, just took him down, slayed the giant.
Do you think it's because she's like, she was tanked? You know how you like can be superhuman and run for ages when you're drunk?
I think, there's probably part of it that actually helped her.
Track, notoriously.
She probably didn't get the yips because she was a little bit pissed.
Yeah.
Anyway, it worked out, but not for long. Episode 2 this week, Mel and Turia hug it out. They have a bit of biffo. They had a bit of biffo after that. Thank you.
We should basically only use sort of like late 80s, early 90s rugby league terminology from now on.
Didn't know podcast. I knew any. This big bopper or late.
Big bopper. The big boppers are the forwards in rugby league.
Okay. Just,
yeah.
It makes more sense now.
Wow. God, I've got some work to do.
Tori, to use a big bopper terminology, puts it in the fuck it bucket. It's like, you know, I'm surprised. I forgive her. It's all good. Steve's out, of course. He's left a card for Nick. Nick is just absolutely just collecting scrolls and cards and bits and bops.
He did collect the biggest bop.
So these cards, I have a question. So it's like, are they collecting a set? Is it playing cards? Are they getting like...
Nah.
Well, they are playing cards.
There's just a lot of motifs, you know? Yeah. Like there's the Western motif, there's the cards, there's the sisters, you know, like there's just...
But it all ties in because the cards appear to be maybe of the sisters. They're like saloon style gals. It ties in with the Western. But there's also letters, these bits of letters that I keep forgetting about, that I keep coming across.
I think it's got over complex, all of the iconography bits, because when they're like reading them out or looking at them, I'm just like, this is boring. Move it along.
So it sounds like to me from the letters, it might be a different type of treasure hunt in this finale, where maybe there's three lots of treasure hidden.
What, and so everyone wins.
No, like
they stop keeping the score in netball now. Sorry. No,
this is New Zealand. Can you just throw one of those out?
Yeah, yeah.
No, if maybe it's kind of that Love Island, do you take the lover or take all the cash for yourself or split it with your lover type thing? Maybe there's going to be some sort of ethical decision to be made at the end of it. I don't know, because they talk about... In the letter, it alludes to one of the sisters deciding she'll keep the money for herself and the other two having to stop her. So maybe there's...
Someone's like listening and thinking and not just going, boring.
Yeah, boring. I missed that. I was watching it at 2x speed and also reading my emails.
Anyway, okay, so we have a charity challenge, which was a water balloon challenge, and Courtney wins it. Mel's looking for a clue in the camp. Mel's doing the same thing again. Listen, Mel and her search for clues, honestly, it's just been a whole thread through this whole thing.
I reckon I've got this theory that Mel is going to be like quite... So I should say I feel sorry for Mel. Like she's the only person who's not in an alliance, and it feels kind of pointed, and I don't like it.
Me too.
But I also worry that when people watch it back, the amount of time she just like had a clue and then was like letting everyone else look for it will drive people totally nuts.
She didn't do good deals with her clues. She really didn't, and to the point where. She's obviously looking for a clue. A couple of people, I think it was James and Eli? It's definitely Eli. Noticed that she's looking. He finds it, but she's stuck a deal. If you find it, then, you know, I'll tell you what's in it. And then, so what was it? I can't even there was some sort of, she says, don't eliminate me, don't put me up, something or other. I don't know. Anyway, he basically goes to his comedy crew immediately, tells them, I've got, you know, we have to get rid of Mel. We have to get rid of Mel because then he gets to keep the clue. And they don't know why. They don't know what it is. They don't know if it's a clue or an advantage. And so I think Eli was a bit sneaky here because he used the loyalty of his team for a personal advantage because it's not something he could share with them. It's a clue for the final treasure hunt. So he didn't tell them that. He was just like, we've got to get rid of Mel. And of course... This comedy coalition of chaos is extremely strong.
Well, can we talk? I just want to talk about the comedy coalition of chaos because I think this is the reason why it's my favourite season, because it is so transcendently complex that it goes beyond the show. Because you've got you've obviously got this very tight bond between Eli and Laura. They are literally best friends, and you've also got like. And they're part of this foursome, you know, who are all part of essentially the same sort of basement-y comedy scene. The thing that makes it really, like, fascinating to me is that Laura and Eli are much more advanced in their careers than James and Courtney. And comedy exists, and I hope I'm not mischaracterizing it, but as a kind of... favor system, like at the very least you have a huge amount of power over one another's careers. You're constantly putting together, whether it's shows or you know, you're getting involved in like a taskmaster or whatever, and you can therefore exert influence over the rising and falling of opportunity for one another. Now I'm not suggesting that Eli and Laura, who seemed genuinely like the loveliest people, would deliberately do anything based on the silly charity show that they'd been on. But if you were mad at someone based on something that happened on the show that you felt like was duplicitous or underhand, you're probably not going to think that kindly of them. And like James explicitly voices this, that's so obviously in the air. And so the fact that there's this kind of show beyond the show that is their real lives and careers exists outside of Celebrity Treasure Island, this is crazy interesting.
But it's not just Eli and Laura in isolation, because Laura's also married to James Moore, who is
Joseph Moore,
who is also a successful comedian, and they are part of a wider circle who are you know, like the top tier as well. So
Eli's got like a podcast and a show for us with Chris Parker, who's one of the most prominent of them. Like, it's the whole thing.
Forget the TikTokers. This is the real drama.
Well, and also like they get funding, they make shows, like there's real stakes here.
You're quite right, because I tell you what, Micah made sure that I never played rugby league ever again after my season.
And it was crazy because you were, I thought you were ready to break out.
Me too.
You know, from half back.
So this show really does have real life consequences.
They're also all mates. Like, on top of whether any of that career stuff is actually real or anything would happen there, it's still perceived as being real within the show. Like, you know, as you say, James said, I don't want to fuck up my life outside of this. But also they say that, you know, they've played board games together with all of them. And, you know, that's about one of the most intimate things a person can do with another person.
The most.
So I feel like, as well as the career stuff, like, it's almost like if, say, a podcast trio did a reality show, you know, and there would just be this endless, like, you know, who's gonna run away to a meeting?
We can't do it. We just could never do it based on what we're seeing unfolding here, because they've come to a point now where they have to put each other up.
Well, I mean, that's basically what's made this season super compelling, right? Like, other seasons there have been comedians cast, but they haven't necessarily been from the same scene, been as close. This is probably of the groups of comedians we've had on the show, they have lasted the longest and they've been the closest, and now the rubber is meeting the road. And you can see James like truly wrestling with, like, I know that these two are going to try and kill me as soon as they can, even though we're in an alliance. But also, if I'm seen to be the one who kills them, then that will plausibly have professional consequences. I don't think he's lying there. I don't think it's just jokes, or they'll necessarily get over it. I just think humans are weird like that, even funny ones.
The terrifying thing as well is when you put these two in an elimination arena together, one of them's coming back. Like, you're dealing with the consequences immediately afterwards, no matter what, you know? They might not be, you know, comedian to the power of comedian besties, because one of them's taken leave from the island, but, you know,
that's true.
If Laura's coming back and she's pissed, you can hear about it.
It breaks beautifully for the insurgents in ways we can discuss when we get to it. Shall we talk about the... So there's the endurance challenge.
There's the endurance challenge,
which is amazing. And also, sorry, I'm dominating now. I found this so interesting. I also, like, I thought it was real lol that Nick looked at the challenge and then sat Eli out, which is just the wrong way to think about that kind of a challenge. That is not a challenge for big, bulky man. That's where big, bulky man is a big problem. And you should have looked at James and Tullia and gone, they're going to be there at the end. And if I want to win, it's one of those that I should be eliminating. Whereas Eli wanted to do it because, look, elimination challenges look really fun, but there's no way that anyone but those two was going to go in. It was real cool to see James, a very slender man, take out one of the physical challenges.
They also looked great when they were, like, leaning forward. You know, it was a powerful scene. It also evoked, you know, that statue on the Wellington waterfront?
Yes.
The, like, Iron Mind of the Man? It was exactly that.
Oh, they'll be building a James Masterpiece statue down in Wanaka for sure. Like,
the other thing about this face-off, and to your point, Duncan, is not just... You actually want to wear people out as well. Like, Nick should have gone, I'm going to wear Eli out, because if I end up in the elimination arena with him tonight...
That's true. He mentioned how, you know, like how much he sort of suffered later on that day.
Yeah, jelly arms.
So they go from there. Turiya basically sacrifices for the win, sort of trades it off. They go and have...
It was like a platter. It was,
yeah. Yeah.
It was like salami.
Scroll, you know. And then Turiya suggests Laura and Eli. This is, she's freaking out about how close they are. This is where James thinks it's logic to worry about the outside world, as you say. Turiya's decided that honesty is no longer the best policy. Great time to realise that. And this is where James gets another page from the story. That's what the scroll was. I completely forgot that whole story thing existed.
So is that those letters, what's the world around it? Is it written by... Is it a journalist? Is it a journalist of the time reporting on the crime of the sisters?
Yeah, kind of. It's like a lore, I think, like the lore of these three sisters and what happened to the treasure, you know? I just did a pirate voice there, which is inappropriate. Well, it's not a pirate
not
story.
Not full pirate, but it was sort of pirate adjacent or nodding at piracy.
Okay. Thanks.
It was just lengthy. It was very lengthy, you know?
But it reminded me a little bit
handwritten.
Of the Jesse Chuke. One where they had the traitor, the book with the traitor and all that kind of thing. It's a similar vibe to that. My season, kept it simple, stupid. Get some rocks, slow some people down. That's it, you know?
It was actually so cool. Sorry to go back to the past, but that the traitor in the original from the first episode was already seated as Jesse Chuke. He just didn't know it. Like, that is actually pretty brilliant.
It's pretty.
That was like...
The monolith was great.
My hat is off, you know.
Well, pop it back on because we have an elimination. And you all know we have to wear a hat at an elimination. It's Nick and Mel up against each other, throwing balls, rolling balls down tiles to a hoop. Winds being an absolute nightmare, as per. Once again, Nick with his... good understanding of physics, I've got to say, this guy. First with the little throw the things down the wire, and now this time he's like, you've got to use speed. Don't give it a chance to, like, blow off. Of course, he wins it. Mel sent packing.
But she ran him close.
She gave him a good nudge.
It was 2-2. The game was there for her. I mean, she defeated Steve, who really had, at various times, you're like, this guy just can't be stopped.
Yeah.
And did it without any alliance whatsoever, and just a good vibey person. And also, seemingly, like, I enjoyed the sort of semi unhinged kind of, like, oh, I see you, I'll remember this. Like, you know, take this to my graviness of the whole thing. It was great.
I will say, I was excited to tune back in after 4 weeks and see her still there. You know, that was like a thrill to me because she went up for elimination in week one, and it's not often that people, and she'd been up multiple times, right, over the last few weeks, that people just hang in there. I was real stoked to see her and sad to see her go because I think she's really cool.
I think both Steve and Mel, their days were numbered. Like, they just, it was inevitable they were going to go based on the kind of the coalitions that were forming.
That's the thing, right? Like, you know, you had the sort of Māori Pacific coalition, the comedian coalition, and it unavoidably does become like the young people against the old people, which is just kind of horrible, even though Mel's probably like half my age. But it just gets uncomfortable when the same person keeps getting put up and then they just have to go back to the living in the same house and pretending like everything's fine. It gets a bit sad.
We start episode 3 of the week with a real proper BFF reunion between Laura and Eli, even though they've been living in the same quarters for a wee bit now. This is where they can feel free to express their love and commitment and devotion to each other. We find out, you know, Eli was the best man at Laura's wedding, but her best man?
Yeah.
He was like, her best man, breaking with tradition, you know?
Eli's last serious
Eli's last serious
lady kiss.
Lady kiss was with Laura. So, you know, they've got a lot of history, a lot of history.
Great edit this.
Great
as well.
Edit. Daydreaming about their Women's Day article. Nick, James, and Turiya have a secret meeting. All bets are off. They need to break up this best friendship. Not before doing a little charity challenge where they stick their hands in some grimy things first. And Turiya wins. She's just winning so many things. And even the things she's not winning, she should have won, but she gave to James, you know. Nick gets a slowdown, another one of these slowdown cards. I think that was one that Steve left behind. Mel leaves a scroll. Oh, no, it's Mel's scroll. I don't know. He's just got all the things.
Yeah.
He's got all the things.
He has so many things. Do you, like, if Nick does get eliminated and you donate your scrolls, can you split them up? Like, can you be like, Mean Girls break up the crown type thing?
People don't seem to do that, though. And I think it'd be more fun to feel like you were blessing and anointing a particular person.
Yeah, because giving it to everyone is just a bit boring.
Yeah.
You want to give someone a proper advantage.
It's so much to give one person, just from like purely an admin point of view, to hold all that paper and file.
Well, I suppose that's true. But it's sort of like, you know how you found that piece of Jesus' cross on your travels, you know, like. Yeah, it's a bit like that.
He wants to know, would you break it up? Would you break it into two and give one to each of me and Duncan, or who would you give it to?
Well, it was sort of like behind glass.
But just if you had it, who would you give it to out of the two of us?
I'm not allowed to break it up.
No.
Who wants it the most? You pitch me, you see? I turn her out.
All right, we'll do that off mic.
And if there's no podcast next week, you know why, okay? It all went bad.
So
Nick and Toria and James tell Courtney their plan. Courtney is acting like she's in on it, but in her head she's like, I don't know, which I feel like is a tell of something.
Well, it's also like smart. It's just being smart. It's like, yeah, I'll agree. But they're at that stage of the game now where you start to have to break your alliances and go back on your word all the time. And the one time she doesn't is at the end of this episode when, you know, James did help her. That does sort of get an implied immunity, I think. That was smart.
Absolutely. So this is the mud puzzle challenge. Yes.
Sorry.
No.
Question.
Yes.
Is Courtney in a very powerful position? Because she seems to be aligned with everybody.
She's literally aligned with everyone. Yes, she is.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, because there's two alliances. Okay. And Tori is aligned with everyone as well.
But is she in the comedians?
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah.
Both Toria and Courtney are aligned on several planes, but also it seems like Eli and Laura trust, there's like a separate thing where they trust Courtney more than they trust James.
Yep.
So she's really, she is really in probably the strongest position. Plus she wins this face-off, which is the mud puzzle prize to us from home thing.
See, I don't, like James in that situation, just too yucky.
This looked, I don't even understand how this worked. Was the entire ground underneath puzzle? They had to see the bits then, oh, no, thank you. It's hard.
Again, I just want, where does the mud come from? You know, like, there's bound to be some poo in there.
Oh, and never, I mean, it's probably all poo.
It's probably their poo, you know?
I mean, the budgets these days, you know, in the media.
Nick gets close several times, got a few pieces upside down, doesn't think about the orientation top, bottom, you know, like a bird's head and a bird's bum, they all look the same. And he doesn't win. James and Courtney take it out, and Courtney gets her letters from home. The letters from home looked like someone put their greasy bits of pizza on them. They were in these envelopes that had just gone all translucent.
It's primary school, you're doing a history thing, and you like soak it in tea and burn the edges. But you've also printed onto
it.
So it's like mixed medium. It's like steampunk, you know. Yeah. It's like printed photograph, but then also like singed edges. What era is it?
Got some lovely letters for Courtney from her mum and dad, and her son made me cry.
Really
We had a peddler's auction. Eli buys a cake, which is just extreme Bruce Bogtrotter energy. And then Eli and James win a scroll, which is for charity. At that point, you're going, oh, that's honestly the best thing I could have hoped for. I really am just so glad to get some money for my charity, and I definitely didn't want an advantage scroll or some sort of clue at this point. So, yay, you know, that's what they're thinking. James also buys a laundry bag. Well, not just the bag, a bag that you can put your laundry in, they take it away and get some laundry done.
That's right. I was impressed, actually, just to circle back to the start of the first episode, that with Eli's sock tree. I thought that was very clever, the way he was drying his socks on the end of that tree. I thought it made for a beautiful scene.
It's not the first time things have been hung on a tree to dry, but appreciate that Alex.
No,
I didn't mean it to be mean. I just like the number of times things are hanging on trees at my house, you know. It's not got your fancy Christchurch, what do you call it? Clotheslines.
I'm just letting you get yourself out of this.
The big prize that goes for a 34 smackers, rightly so, is a double immunity for that night's challenge, which sets up, which it just works so beautifully. Because I think that we've got the makings of an absolutely sensational final week.
Yeah.
But it only really worked if you could break up Eli and Laura. And Courtney, because of the sort of implied immunity for James and the real immunity for Turia and Nick, basically had no choice but to knife her friends and had plausible deniability on why she was doing it and whether she was going to do it.
Didn't stop Eli and Laura trying to get her to put James in.
Well, cool, you got to try and you got to make it James.
But they said James has broken the Sag Alliance, so you can put him up and not feel bad about that. And Eli also offered his end game scroll in front of everyone. Sorry, the clue that he'd got that was rightfully Mel's, he offered that to Courtney to not put him up in front of everyone in the arena, and she still went ahead and put him up, which was
He was amazing. battling to the end.
Yeah.
They're so dangerous. I just can't believe this hasn't happened sooner. That was the main thing. I was like, Eli and Laura are still here?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that this hasn't come up, but maybe because there were so many other things.
Yeah, they were on separate teams, though, for a while, and I do wonder if they played down how close they were. There would be people like James and Courtney who probably knew, but they were in with them at that point, so it wasn't in their interest to kind of tell everyone how close they were.
Yeah, Nick came out and, said, I had no idea that they were this close. I think that is something that sort of emerged as the group got smaller. Not everyone's paying as close attention to the sort of vagaries of the Auckland comedy scene as us, fools.
The elimination was some sort of balance scales, build a card tower, have some sandbags.
And great work from Laura, just really smart, I've got a rock solid one layer and I don't think you can build anything in this wind.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Yeah, she was right, and she won. And now it gets real interesting because we've got 1 week left.
Yeah, and there's a straight through to the final prize.
Is it straight through to the final? So we're top five, are we now?
Yeah.
And so normally at this point with six, they go into teams. A few of them would have been thinking about that and had to change their strategy completely because now there's going to be
When you say a few of them, you mean one of them.
James, yep. James must pick.
The one who's watched the show.
Inside Out. That's it, really? Alex, welcome back. Welcome back.
And congratulations.
Congratulations.
So I promise I'll watch the final week properly and say better things than I like the sock tree.
I actually think you did remarkably well. You did remarkably well considering you've only watched 2 weeks of this and one of them was at double speed. Just
thank you to Vimeo.
Yeah, no, you've done great and got married and saw all the people. You've brought a lot of content to the pod this week.
Yeah, the celebrity sightings and the marriage, outstanding. I disagree with Jane about you doing well with the recapping of the podcast of the show, but you'll be better next week.
Next week.
You're back in the shed.
I've got time.
You got an earful from one of the big boppers. now just go get on the rantan and we'll have a mad Monday. And we'll we'll see you on the paddock. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, that was our podcast this week. Goodbye, everyone.
From the Spin-Off Podcast Network, you've been listening to The Real Pod, hosted by me, Jane Yee, along with Alex Casey and most of the time, Duncan Grieve. Our producers are Tiahe Butler and Samuel Robinson. Thanks for listening.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Tiahe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.